Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
Today, we're launching a brand new series called Galatians. And Galatians is not a creative title. It's a book in the Bible. Martin Luther says this, who started the Reformation, said, the Magna Carta of the Christian faith is the book of Galatians. And Paul the Apostle, and you might say, what's an apostle? Really a church planter. He would go, if you read the book of Acts, he planted churches all throughout the Middle East. In fact, Galatians, who the book was written for the town of Galatia, that area, it's really modern-day Turkey. And Paul planted a church in Galatia. And so when Paul would write a letter to a church, he would name it after the church. So letter to the Galatians was for the church in Galatia. Wrote the book Philippians, the epistle. Epistle's a letter. He wrote it for the church in Philippi called Philippians. The church in Thessalonica, Thessalonians. If he wrote it to the church, he'd call it the name of the church or community. If he wrote it to an individual, it was like Timothy or Titus or Jude. They were epistles. They're shorter letters that were written to encourage the church or provoke the church or kind of rebuke the church. Most of them started out with a nice little, hey, I'm Paul, called by God, da-da-da-da, grace and peace to you. But Galatians, man, Paul goes in different directions. You ever talk to someone on the phone who, you know, you see them and they jump right to the topic? You're like, hey, nice to see you. You ever been there? Good to talk to you, but they jump past all the formality and just kind of like rip right to the topic. Paul in Galatians was frustrated. Galatians was Turkey. These people weren't Jews. They would be what the Bible would call Gentiles. They'd be people that weren't Jewish. Anybody here a Gentile? I'm a Gentile. I'm not Jewish of descent. And how many glad that Jesus died for me too? How many glad Jesus died for you too today? Okay, and so the Gentiles, in the Bible, the Gentiles were now being told that Jesus died on the cross for them and that they could receive the forgiveness and be grafted in as God's sons and daughters, just like God's people, the Jews. And there's some people that didn't like that. They're called the Judaizers, the Jewish people. They weren't very happy with that because they felt like you should be a Jew before you're a Christian. Now, what made them Jews? There's lots of things they did. One is they had to be circumcised. Now, how many of you guys are glad that we don't have formal circumcision for membership at our church? Don't raise your hand. Some of you are pretty happy right now, though. And this was the deal. We'll get there in a minute. But guys, in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 15, there's a big council in Jerusalem where all the apostles and disciples gathered together, and they're debating because all of a sudden, people, the churches are exploding. You read the book of Acts, the churches added to their numbers every day, and then all of a sudden, it was the churches multiplied, and then the churches multiplied. And by Acts 19, it says there was a myriad of believers and a myriad of churches. That word myriad is the Greek word for the uncountable number. It goes back to Genesis. Remember in Genesis when God told Abraham, your descendants will be as numerous as the what? Stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. And his wife is like, I'm like beyond childbearing. And God, but what God was saying is the descendants of Abraham, the sons and daughters of God, those that follow Jesus will be as numerous as the stars. They'll be an uncountable number. And by Acts 19, that had happened. So in Jerusalem council, they're like, wait a second here. There's a lot of people getting saved. A lot of people are making decisions for Jesus. And they're not being circumcised like all of us have had to do for thousands and hundreds of years. And basically, Paul says, time out, guys. If we really believe the cross is not just a decoration, but a proclamation that Jesus died for us and that we're saved by grace through faith and not by works. It's not because you've been circumcised or not. What matters is your heart has now been circumcised and God has cut and rolled away the reproach of sin in your life. So Paul, he gets to he's in chapter 1, and he just kind of dives in to the church in Galatia, and he says this in Galatians chapter 1, and if I was to title today's talk, it would be Two Gospels. Verse 6, it says, I'm astonished. Say astonished. Like, I'm perplexed, I'm bewildered, I'm appalled. I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different, say different, turning to a different gospel. Now, the word gospel is the Greek word that really means the good news. How many want to know the gospel is good news? And that's why it's good news that we should always tell, not good news we should never tell. In fact, I forgot to pause, but I want to look right at the camera, and I want to welcome those at Spring Creek today, Correctional Facility, as well as those at Fairbanks Correctional Facility for joining us. Would you give it up for those online that are watching right now? And thanks again for joining us in the correctional facilities and those online. It says you're turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Paul is saying, guys, time out. Hey, let's pause for a second. I'm astonished. Do you started out realizing it's because of grace in Christ Jesus, but now you've turned to a different gospel? That word difference is a unique word. It's the Greek word heteros. It's where we get the word heterosexual. How many want to know? My wife and I are different. Men are from Mars and women are from what? No, Venus, right? Men and women are different, okay? Heteros means entirely of another kind. Heteros means it's like Apple and Samsung. Samsung's a whole other galaxy, is it not? But Paul is saying, we're not talking about phones or sex right now, sexuality or the gender we're born with. We're talking about two different gospels, and one's not even a gospel. One is good news. How many want to know it's good news if you're drowning and someone doesn't, they throw you a rope and not a bucket of water? So I was somewhere once that says, yeah, my husband really likes your preaching. Now they've lost his mind. Thank you. Not sure if that's a compliment. Your preaching is like a bucket of water to a drowning man. Thank you. You have the gift of encouragement, sweetheart. No, two gospels. And one's no God. One is good news named Jesus, and the other one is not. It's not good news because one is grace and the other is works. And it goes on, it says, evidently some people are throwing you into confusion and they're trying to pervert the good news or gospel of Christ. Now what Paul is saying is that some of you started out realizing it's grace, but some other people have come in here to say, hey guys, it's not about grace. You got to be circumcised before you can have grace applied to your life. And Paul, in fact, Paul goes on in Galatians. Read the book of Galatians. In fact, if you don't have a Bible reading plan the next 5, 6, 7 weeks, read the book of Galatians. We're going to be studying this chapter by chapter the next 6, 7 weeks. But chapter 3 says, you foolish Galatians, who bewitched you or who cut in on you? Before your very eyes, Jesus was clearly betrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by believing what you heard? In other words, you started out realizing it was because of Jesus and Him alone and grace and only grace, and now you've gotten into this trap of called works. Now, I want to talk today about what really gives you freedom. Are you really free when you accept Jesus Christ and the grace of God, or is it grace and something else? And the key question I want to ask you today is this. It's on your notes here. Is how am I going to become godly? Am I going to become godly because God does a work in my life through grace, and then the Holy Spirit begins to transform me as I grow in my relationship with Jesus? Or is there a whole lot of stuff I have to do to get right? It's the big question. And that's been the question from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. There's been this tug of war. And so really it deals with what's my approach to serving God? How does it really work? See, all religions have a pathway to God. How many know that? All religions have a pathway to God. The one thing that distinguishes Christianity from every other world religion or cult is this one thing. It's called grace. We can't earn it. We can't do enough stuff to get right with God. We can't jump through enough hoops to get to the next heaven, to try to the next level. Every other religion is based on guilt or some path you have to jump through. But Christianity wipes it all and says, you know, there's nothing you can do that makes you good enough. There's only one thing. It's called forgiveness through someone named Jesus Christ. Now, friends, this is a pivotal series in our church. I start my sixth year in July, and there was 87 people here on July 27th in 2014. And now we have five gatherings. There's a lot more than 87 people here. And some people have come from other churches. Some have come. 281 people this year we know have said, I made a commitment to Jesus Christ. And they told us, I made a decision to follow Jesus today. So we know there's people that are new to Jesus. Some people are maybe just going, is this the type of church that's going to make me jump through all these hoops to be right? And all? No, listen, it's called grace in Jesus Christ, and that's all. But all religions have a pathway. And I want to look at the first chapter. I want to look at the first book in the Bible called Genesis. And from Genesis, the garden, to the last book of the Bible, the city of God, in Revelation chapter 22. From the garden to the city, there's this tug of war between what really makes you godly, what really gets you to heaven. And in Genesis chapter 2, it says, now that God had planted a garden in the east, and in Eden, and there he put the man he'd formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle, say middle. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There's two trees. Now there's lots of trees, but there's the tree of life, and there's another tree about what the knowledge of good and evil, and there's a choice. You become godly by choosing the tree of life, but you can choose the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is a worldview that says, if I know enough or I stay away from enough evil, I might be good enough for God. Friends, there's life. In fact, let me just say it this way. There are two breeds of Christianity. The tree of life Christianity and the tree of knowledge of good and evil Christianity. Obedience out of obligation versus obedience out of love and choice. And God said you can eat from every tree in the Garden of Eden, but the day you eat from this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll surely die. Because there's good news, and there's life. And then there's the perverted, which if I know enough, do enough, obedience through obligation, I might be able to be someday get into this next life and with a big God in the sky. And the devil wants you to believe the tree of life's not enough. That the good news through grace is not enough. So he comes down in the Garden of Eden to mess it all up. God says you can eat from every tree but this one. The day you eat from this one tree, this worldview that you can know enough. And I'm not against knowledge. Don't hear that. I have a doctorate. I believe in education. I believe in knowledge. But I don't believe knowledge does anything for us other than open doors in certain areas. But I believe grace in Jesus Christ is what gets us to heaven. And that's it. And it says the serpent was more crafty than all the wild animals that the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? No, God never said you could. God said you could eat from any tree but this one. And the woman begins to dialogue. We may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that's in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you'll die. You'll not surely die, the serpent said. Gets you to question. How many want to know the devil wants you to question what God's word says and start to rationalize? Now let me just say something. The moment you start talking back to the devil and interacting with him, listen, if he's the bully on the playground, he's there to take your lunch money. If you dance with the devil long enough, he's not the one that walks away changed. We have instant cameras. We have, you know, digital cameras. But it was, used to be a day where you take the negative of a family and develop it. If you're in the devil's dark room long enough, he'll develop you. They're in the Garden of Eden, and you'll not surely die, the serpent said, for God knows that when you eat from that tree, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. Guess what? Go back to chapter 2 and chapter 1. They were made in the image and likeness of the Almighty God. When they sinned, the likeness of God is destroyed inside of them. And what he was saying is, when you eat from this tree, you'll be like God. And how many want to know, you can't do enough stuff in your like self to be like God. You're like God through something called grace. So there's this tug of war. And every time we make the wrong choice regarding the gospel, there's shame and innocence is lost at that moment. The eyes of both of them were open and they realized they were naked. See, there's two choices. There's two gospels, friends. There's the tree of life gospel, which says there's life and I gave it to you freely. And then there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which says I got to do more, know more, understand what evil is and overcome that on my own. And friends, there's no way you can do that. And God said, hey, stay away from that tree, because it's like this. There's a way that seems right to the man, but in the end it leads to death. Two gospels. Let's look at the two gospels today, the next few minutes. See, one gospel focuses on what you do. The other gospel focuses on what Jesus has done. How many want to know there's a big difference between what you can do and what Jesus has done? Example, reading the Bible versus how many chapters you read. Praying versus how long you've prayed. Friends, you can't pray enough to get right with God. Grace and grace alone is what makes you and become more like God. It's not what we do. However, we'll talk about that next week. In fact, Jesus was confronting the Pharisees and Sadducees, and he says this, you diligently, in chapter 5 of John, you diligently study the scriptures. This is Judaizers, the same people that would have gone into Galatia and messed with the Galatians. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. And they memorized the entire Torah or law. They had all of these rituals. He says, you study them because you think you might possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. In other words, what he's saying is those scriptures are not there so you can know all about me. Those scriptures are there so you can know me. These scriptures are about me. This book isn't so you can become holy. It's so you can know the Holy One. And while you know the Holy One, you'll become holy. Come on. It's not about what you do. It's about what Jesus has done. The goal is not just to read the Bible. It's to let the Bible read you. And you, as you that happens, you become like Jesus. It's not how you mark your Bible. It's how the Bible marks you. And this Bible is about Jesus. So as you get to know the Word, in fact, I always tell people, you only know God to the degree you know His Word. You want to get to know Jesus, get to know His Word. Not so you can know all about the Bible, but so you can know Jesus. It's not what you do, it's what He's done. Secondly, one gospel focuses on getting God's approval, and the other gospel is on receiving God's love. See, the Judaizers still believed the only way to get God's approval was to do the right stuff. They were still living in the Old Testament where every day, every year, you'd raise a lamb and take it to be sacrificed, and that lamb would cover your sins for a year only to do it again for the next year. They lived under the Old Testament, this whole law thing, and they didn't realize that grace changed everything. How many want to know? Grace changes everything. One focus on getting. See, inherently, we tend to believe that God's mad at us and He's hard to please. There's a contractor in town I'm close with, and I go to his office often, and he's the chair of our building committee, and there's an engineer upstairs there that I've been saying, hey, bro, you should come to church sometime. He goes, yeah, if I came to church, you would fall down. A couple weeks ago, I was at a funeral, and he was here. And I walked up to him and said, bro, church didn't fall down. But in his mind, he wasn't good enough to ever have a relationship with Jesus. Well, and what he's really saying is, I'm not good enough at getting God's approval. But friends, understand something. God knows. Wrap your mind. I saw this on the news today. I guess Donald Trump, our president, is in Japan trying to get some trade deals out with their leader over there. And their president, they're playing golf. But he went to a sumo wrestling. I guess there's a 15-day sumo wrestler contest there. And at 15 days, I guess the biggest sumo or best sumo wrestler is like recognized, last man standing or whatever. And so there's this huge sumo wrestler. And Donald Trump is like lifting up this huge, huge trophy to award it to the sumo wrestler. And I think trying to understand God's grace sometime is like a three-year-old trying to wrap his arm around a sumo wrestler. How many want to know God's bigger than you? And there's times we go, well, I mean, come on, it couldn't just be grace. There's got to be something I have to do to get God's approval. And God says, no. Just try to wrap your mind and arm around that God knows everything about you, and he still loves you. Let me say that again. Look at me. God knows everything about you, and he still loves you. Grace, grace. God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. It's grace. It's not getting God's approval. It's receiving his love. Love that's patient and kind and not does not envy, does not boast. It's not proud. It's not does not dishonor. It keeps no record of wrong and always perseveres. How many of you are glad that God's love never fails? His grace never fails. But here's the Galatians. The Judaizers come in and say, wait a second here, guys. It's more than that. Before you really can understand who God is, you have to have surgery. You have to be circumcised. And Paul's like, no, guys, you've been circumcised in your heart. It's okay. You don't have to jump through all those hoops. That's not you. And lastly, see, your view of God will determine your relationship with God. How many know that? How you see him will determine how you act with him. If you never feel like you're quite good enough, you'll always walk in and feel like you got to do more. You got to offer more. And that's why Martin Luther, you know, he saw people going and paying penances at the stairs to the Catholic churches. And he comes in and says, no, it's grace, nothing else. It's faith in nothing else. That's why he calls Galatians the Magna Carta of the Christian faith. It is because of who ran in, who bewitched you, I'm astounded that you started out this way, and now all of a sudden you added all these other things you feel like you have to do to be accepted by God, and God's already accepted you. God demonstrated his own love for us in this while we were still sinners. He died for us. He didn't wait for you to change to start loving you. He loved you because he knew he could help change you. Let me say that again. He didn't wait for you to change to start loving you. He loved you so you could change. The third difference between the gospels is one gospel focuses on external duty. I don't want to do it, but I'll do it anyway, because if I do it, I can get to the next level. I can earn this. But the good news, the good gospel, the good news is one, it focuses on an internal desire. Internal desire. It's not that I have to do this. It's not outward discipline. It's inward passion. How many of you know? I remember years ago, some Bible college, they came out with this prayer wheel. If you pray an hour with God, 5 minutes on thanking God for who he is, 5 minutes on focusing on all that God has done, 5 minutes on what you need from God. So if I treated my wife like this, Heidi, I'm going to spend 5 minutes. Heidi, I thank you if you've done this and this and this in my life. Baby, I thank you, da-da-da. And I was okay, 5 minutes is up. Okay, Heidi, I need this from you. Hey, I need this. Could you scratch my back right between the shoulder blades right here? It really itches right now. I think there's a pimple there, but don't worry about it. No, Heidi, I need this. Oh, my. Okay, my hour's done. See you later, babe. Hope you feel loved. How many of you guys would feel pretty? How many of you guys would like that type of marriage? Discipline is a pathetic excuse for passion. Discipline's a pathetic excuse for passion. Discipline says I have to do this and this and all external, not the internal. I was gone for 4 days and I didn't come home and say, hey, high five me, babe. See you later. I got home. I said, let's go have some coffee. Because God and my wife and coffee, that's just God right there, isn't it? It's depth of relationship. Talk. You spend time. I was gone for 4 days, but what happens? I get home and I say, you know something? I'm not going to have evening things because I want to connect with my kids and I want to connect with my bride. Why? Because discipline is a bit of an excuse for passion. Says, if I didn't have as much time over here, I'm going to make time now because I miss my bride and my kiddos. Now, see, at True North, we're all about the good news. We always tell people all the time, we'll do anything short of sin to preach, to reach people that no one's reached. Why? Because we believe the good news is the greatest story that has to be told. But friends, there's two brands. I said this earlier, two brands of Christianity. One is the tree of life Christianity, which says only God can give us life. And the other is the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is obedience out of obligation. And I got to do more and know more and not be evil if I do enough. But guys, that's the breed of Christianity we don't do here. So I want to talk about what does tree of life living look like? What does it look like to be a church or a people that understand it's about grace? And not by works, because guess what? I met someone today, it's their second or third week here, and I said, listen, I said, you know, if you come here long enough, I'm probably going to mess up. But Tree of Life says, you know something, it's not about all that you do, it's about, we have a relationship here that's beyond works, beyond all that. How many know that True North, what's Tree of Life living looks like? Number one, take a note, we believe you need to fall in love with Jesus. Not fall in love with the church. Not fall in love with a system. Not fall in love with the ministry you serve in, although we hope you love that ministry, but we hope that love for ministry comes from a love you have with Jesus. Okay, that's why we do encounter nights, and I want to encourage you, selfless plug, June 2nd, on Tuesday nights, we have our encounter nights. It used to be on Wednesday night, we have youth group on Wednesday night. Our Tuesday night, guys, we don't have an agenda. We have a speaker this time, but we come. He's going to talk about the Holy Spirit and how to be used by God. We're going to pray for people. People have been healed. They've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Our Tuesday night encounter nights are incredible. Don't miss it. Why? Because the tree of life. We believe that there's two things that make me love Jesus, who he is and what he's done. Not if I do enough, I'll love Jesus. No, I love Jesus because of who he is and what he's done. The Bible says, if you love me, you'll obey what I command. If you love him, you'll obey what you command. It starts with love. It doesn't start with a command. It starts with love. But what's his greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And love your neighbors yourself. If you do this, the whole law and prophets will be. It starts by loving Jesus. Number two, don't allow condemnation. The devil comes in, you're not doing enough. Come on, you're not, and there's no condemnation, the Bible says, for those who are in Christ Jesus. And thirdly, make the choice every day. Make the choice every day. And I've got to close. I'm not going to preach as long as my wife did last week. Just kidding. She didn't realize what time service got over with, so you guys got an extra dose last week in this gathering. Maybe you're here today, and you've thought church, you've been a part of churchianity, not Christianity. If I do enough stuff, if I do, and maybe you're here, and it's kind of, maybe you're like, is it really that simple that God will forgive me, and it's called grace, and not by all the stuff I can do? Yeah, it's that simple. But once you fall in love with Jesus, he'll begin to change you on the inside, and then there'll be things that you want to change and want to do, but it starts with him, not with you doing things to be accepted by him. Maybe you're here today, and you're far from God. You don't have a relationship with Jesus. And if you died today, you're not sure you go to heaven. Let me tell you something. There's an expiration date on the milk carton of every one of your lives. This is what we believe at True North. We believe that a relationship with Jesus is as easy as A, B, C. A, admit you've sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. A, admit. B, believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son to die, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. A, admit, B, believe, and C, confess. The Bible says if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you. If you're here today, you've never begun a relationship with Jesus, I want to pray with you. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes today? Maybe you've thought, if I do enough stuff, get right with God, do these things. Friends, it's about a commitment to serving Jesus and him only. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You've never made a commitment to Jesus, but today you want to start. Just pray this prayer with me silently as I pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, today I admit I've sinned, but I believe that you died for me to provide something called grace that forgives me for my sin. So I confess my sins to you because you're faithful and just to forgive me. Please forgive me today, Jesus. Please cleanse me. Please help me serve you the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit truenorthak.org.